is an oral history project on Calhoun, South Carolina. The interviewer is W.J. Meginson, and the interview is taking place in Clemson, South Carolina on August 10, 1988. Now, for the person I'm talking to today, may I ask your name, sir?
G.C. Summey, George.
And that's S-U-M-M-E-Y.
Right.
Okay, and your age?
84.
84. Were you from Calhoun?
Well, since 25.
25. Where did you move from?
I moved from Central.
Mm-hmm. Long distance.
Yeah.
One of the things I particularly want to ask you about is the Wesleyan Methodist Church. I understand you have been a member of the Wesleyan Methodist Church here for as long as you've been
in Calhoun. Well, I've been a member of the Wesleyan Methodist Church for more than 60 years, even before I came to this one, because of where I was living. Might back up a little. We married in 25, mm-hmm. and we lived here at Clemson. Married in August of 25. In fact, yesterday was our anniversary. And we lived here at Clemson until the first of the year 26. Mm-hmm. We moved to Pickens and we lived there. And of course we attended church there also, and we took our church membership to the Wesleyan Church, Wesleyan Methodist Church it was then, at Pickens, and we worked there what little we were able as real young people for a year and a half or so. In fact, we moved back to Clemson in midsummer of 28, I believe it was. And then we joined this church here, but it was a little bit later than it was, at least in the fall of 28 or 29 when we joined the church here.
So you know just about as much about the church as anyone else around.
I guess.
Okay. You know more than anybody else, I reckon.
The church right now is only a few yards from where you live at the intersection of the highway to Greenville and 123.
Right.
And where was the
123
church?
123 and 93.
How long has the church been at this site?
I wanted to look that up and make sure of our inquire or look at, see if I could find any records. But we had the first service in this church either the first Sunday in 1950 or 1951, and I'm not positive as to which.
So fairly close now to 40 years.
But we built it. I think that we started in to build it and build it in the year 50, and I believe we had the first service. Now that's the best I just have my memory on this, mm-hmm. and I think that I'm right though. I think we had the first service the first Sunday in 1951.
And where was the church prior to that? Where was the church building prior to 1950?
It was, do you know where the big old hotel is on top of the hill just up from the underpass?
You're talking about the Calhoun area.
At Calhoun, yes. You go under the underpass and you come up here and around the store building and straight up to the top of the hill, and on the left there's a big, big building there.
That would be going up Clemson Avenue from the hotel. From the depot going
right,
block
right.
to the hotel.
That's
and
correct.
Continue going north.
Well, you can go all, no, it's a one-way drive, I believe. You just when you go into the underpass, you turn right and you come back somewhat east for a block around the store building.
Right, and then you go.
And then up to the top of the hill, there's that big old, they use that, I believe, now for maybe for some kind of
That's the Alpha Gamma Rho fraternity house.
Well, then the road forks right in front, right by the side of that building, mm-hmm. and the old Central Road.
That's your right-hand fork.
To the right. Mm-hmm. The little church was about 200 yards down the road from that intersection of the main road going on toward 6 Mile, and the one that turns toward Central is on the old Central Road.
What size building was it?
The picture of it's in that book.
Okay, that doesn't help us too much. Can you give us sort of a sense of how big it was?
I'm not sure whether this gives a size or not, but...
I don't believe it does.
But I'd say it was... perhaps 24 by 50 or something about that size.
Do you remember about how many members the church had?
When we came here, it was at when we first began to attend that class or that branch of the church, there was, I couldn't say exactly how many members. There was 14 when it was organized.
A small group.
Just a small group, little more than a Ladies' Missionary Society. But they organized a church. And one young man from Central College was, when the church was organized, was appointed pastor. And at that time, the annual conference was in the fall of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so far as I know, he served as pastor till the next conference. I think it was organized in October of 22 by W.D. Correll, who was at that time the conference president. And I think that T.C. Harvey was the man that was appointed pastor, and he served that first part of a year. Then following him, I know that there was a man, Early Crenshaw, that served as pastor for at least 1 year. It must have been the next year, which would have been, let's see, Harvey's would have been from 22 till over in the fall of 23. Well, then Crenshaw must have taken over from as pastor from there till the fall of 24.
So you said the church was founded in 1922.
Right.
And I believe you also suggested that it grew out of a missionary society.
Well, more or less. And as we've already stated, it was an old schoolhouse building that, and I told you about how that it came into possession of it never did really belong to the Wesleyan Methodist Church. We just used it for a place of worship on the conditions that I gave you regarding it being deeded to Mr. Dillard and his successors.
The property in the building apparently originated from Aaron Boggs, who first deeded it to the town officials or the school officials in 1893 for a schoolhouse.
Uh-huh.
So the building has also been used as a schoolhouse, hasn't it?
I think that must have been the way it was. I don't know whether he deeded to Mr. Dillard or not, but Mr. Dillard had. But the deed stated to this Mr. Dillard and his successors so long as it was used for public worship.
Well, I have also heard that the church goes back to just about as old as 1893. Is it possible that there were people having worship services there, and who were Central Wesleyan, who were Wesleyan Methodist, but who had not officially organized as a church prior to the 1920s.
If there was any church services there before this time in 1922, I don't know about it.
Mr. Summey and I have been looking at a book by James Hilson, of South Carolina Conference of the Wesleyan Methodist Church of America. And in this book, Mr. Summey, he mentions, as we were looking a few minutes ago, that in 1897, that the conference for the entire South Carolina Wesleyan Methodist Church met in Calhoun.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you imagine that there must have been a church here to bring them
to the
town?
Well, they must have had a class at that time. You're right about that.
There's also a reference in the book you pointed out to me earlier about a Calhoun Academy at Calhoun.
Yeah.
And a connection between that and the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is October 13th was when they met for this conference in 97.
Tell me, if you will, some of the people you remember who were members of the Wesleyan Methodist Church at Clemson.
Well, let's find where it was. Mrs. J.W. Smith was one charter member.
Was my grandmother, Mrs. Louis Smith.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, she was one of the charter members, and she operated that hotel I was trying to get over to you about. I guess you knew more about it maybe than I did.
And I understand she was also organist for the church.
Yes, she was. And I'm fairly sure that Mrs. C.R. Lawrence, or Mrs. Leela Lawrence was her first name, was a charter member. And I suppose that Mr. Frank Dillard, son of the old gentleman Dillard, and I forgot what his, I believe his name was Bayless.
That's right.
Frank, his son, I think, must have been a charter member. I'm not positive of that, but I know he was one of the members that was there and was a Sunday school superintendent when I first went there, and I went there in about 28.
So in addition to church services, you also had Sunday school classes.
Oh, yeah.
I gather this was a one-room church?
It was at that time, yes.
So you had Sunday school classes in the main part of the building and then returned and had worship services.
We have an account of that in this book. Mm-hmm. That was done after that we went to the church here. We added two Sunday school rooms. There's an account of that in this history book. Let me see if I can.
So did all ages attend the same Sunday school class?
Well,
before you had the addition of the other rooms?
Yeah, pretty much so. No, there was maybe three classes, but different little spaces in the church, that they didn't all attend one class. I see 122 here, what that says about it.
About how many people do you think the sanctuary part of the church could hold?
Oh.
About as much as this one.
I guess 200 could have. Perhaps would have been full.
Now that
maybe too many.
That was in a fairly small town, so I guess people came from some distance around to the church.
Well, yes, I guess.
Not only were there not any Wesleyan Methodist church with in several miles, but there wasn't even another church of any description within about a mile. You had to go all the way over to Clemson, which at that time was a fair distance to get to another church, I believe.
Well, I guess Central would have been the closest mm-hmm.
For a Wesleyan Methodist church.
Yeah. Now there was a. There was. Are you acquainted with the area over around Crossroads in Oconee County? There was a. The first church in the conference was organized, I believe, at. What was known as Rock Hill, which was over right close to Townville mm-hmm. in Oconee County. And there's a picture of the little church.
Okay, there's a picture of the Calhoun Church on page 123 of the Hilson book, and it gives a fairly good view of it. The Wesleyan Methodists are compared to a lot of other churches, not that old. It only began in the 1890s. Can you tell me anything about why the Wesleyan Methodist Church started as a separate church?
Why it started as a separate church?
Yes.
From the original Methodist Church?
Yes, if you can.
I can tell you a little about that. And incidentally, I have, if I can put my hand on it, I don't know that I can do that today, but I have a history of the Wesleyan Methodist Church by Nicholson and McLeister. And the reason for separation, many folks think that it was because of the teaching of the second definite work of grace in the hearts of individuals. That was not the reason. It was they changed because of the question of slavery, mm-hmm. and it became they separated from the over that now that other book would give you some light on that, but I was going on.
But what is different about Wesleyan Methodist from the United Methodist Church? Or as it was known then, the Methodist Episcopal Church.
Not too much in the original discipline of the ME Church. Mm-hmm. But there seemed to be a difference in some of the people's thinking concerning slavery, and that is where that they separated, and the Wesleyan Methodist Church began.
Would it be fair to say that in some of the Wesleyan Methodist services there is more emotionalism than in the Methodist Episcopal Church services?
I would rather think so.
What specific types of things? People perhaps shouting out amen in services?
Yeah, yeah.
Any speaking in tongues?
No, not in the Wesleyan Church, Wesleyan Methodist Church.
Was the church opposed to that?
Yes.
Apparently, from what Hilson said, at one time some of the churches were practicing that, and the conference established a doctrine that it was opposed to the use of tongues in church.
There were some of the people that one time were Wesleyan Methodists that went that way. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of what one time was in this church here. Now, maybe some of his parents were of the early members of this church. I don't know whether they were charter members or not.
And what was their name? What was their name?
Newton. Mm-hmm. Joel Newton and Annie Newton, incidentally. This man that we looked at here in this first one where it mentioned George B. Nally being elected president
yes.
in 97, I believe it was. Well, he was my wife's grandfather, her mother's father. She was a Nally. Mm-hmm. Her mother was a Nally. And this This George B. Nally was her father.
Well, let me ask you about another early founder of the church who lived just about half a mile, perhaps a quarter of a mile from where you are today, Reverend J.T. Carey. Do you remember him?
Yeah, he served as pastor. I was going on to tell you when we were speaking of Crenshaw that J.T. Carey, he lived just across the road from the Gulf Station out here.
That would be on 93.
Right.
The old Greenville Highway.
Right.
Approximately where the washroom is today.
Right. And he did serve as pastor. I don't know how long. One little, I guess it would be humorous incident happened while he was pastoring. Mrs. Summers' brother had borrowed my automobile and stole his to-be wife and ran away with her and came down there, and while preacher Carew was preaching, he went to the front door of the church and motioned to him, and he came back to the door, and her brother Lawrence told him what he wanted, and he married them right there in that little church.
Well, it may also be if Reverend Carey were living here at Calhoun in 1893, that would have been another reason for the conference to have come here in 1897.
And I'm fairly sure that he and his wife were perhaps charter members of this class.
Hilson's book says that Mrs. Carey was a charter member, and she was a Mrs. Smith's sister.
Right.
So they had family connections as well as church connections.
Yes. I wanted to see on page. I was looking for what it said about.
Let me ask you about the town. We have used the names Clemson and Calhoun off and on. The place where you were living actually when you moved here and where the church was located was called Calhoun.
Right.
Where did you live in the town?
Where did I live?
Yes.
Let me see if I can tell you. Right there at the Mrs. Smith's house.
Yes.
You went up but went around the bog store and up by another big store on the right of that street, and then there was a street turned back, I'd say east from there.
That would be Calhoun Street.
Perhaps so. I don't remember those streets now, but out to where let's see, there's one old residence, the Mrs. Sophie Dillard.
Mm-hmm.
You know where her house is?
Yes, that's at the corner of Boggs and Calhoun.
Okay. Then just going around her and turning up toward Cochran's,
mm-hmm.
back there on the north side of that street is where I
was
built.
That the first house on the street?
The house that I built burned, mm-hmm. after I sold it and moved up here. But it was it was the first house after you made that turn up toward Cochran's.
And who else do you remember living up that way?
The Henrys. Let's see, next to us was Grandfather Henry and they called the son Shorty. I really don't remember what his first name was. Maybe you do. Maybe you've heard it. But he and his wife lived there, and let me see, I believe they built a house while we lived there at Calhoun. And then on the next one up toward Cochran's was one of Cochran's daughters and her husband.
That would be Mildred Mixon?
Mixon, that's right. Mildred Mixon and her husband.
And
he was Floyd.
Mm-hmm. Who else do you particularly remember from the town besides your immediate neighbors?
Uh, Well, Mr. Norman Boggs was one outstanding man that ran the store on the corner that I referred to a while ago. And then he had a brother, Claude Boggs, and incidentally, they were brothers to this Mrs. Lawrence that I told you was one of the charter members. And going back to the street, as you go up the hill to Mrs. Smith's hotel, right where you turn right on the street that we're talking about that we lived on, is where Mr. Claude and his wife lived. And she too was a member of the church, Mrs. Agnes Boggs.
And Mr. Boggs was or was not?
I don't think that he was a member, but...
Well, that was the same case with the Smiths, because my grandfather was not at the church either, as far as
I know. Right.
Was the church then composed more of women than of men? Were there more women in the church than men?
Yes. When we moved back from Pickens and became members of this little church, there was only two men in the church at that time that would offer prayer in the public.
Who were they?
That was her father and Frank Dillard.
So Frank Dillard and Mr. Nally.
And Mr. Nally wasn't there then. Mm-hmm. He was elected conference president when they had the conference there. Mm-hmm. But he never was in that church as a member.
Apparently, from what you said, you did a lot of shopping at the Boggs store.
Yeah.
What do you remember about it?
Well, it was mainly a grocery store, and he had a man named Crawford that worked there with him, and he went out, walked all over the community, the village, and took orders. Went back in, and then they delivered those orders.
What was his name? Mr. Crawford, what was his name?
Doc.
Doc Crawford.
Doc Crawford is all that I ever knew.
Well, they must have had a fair-sized carriage and horse to get all these things taken all over.
Well, they had an old model truck, I believe, maybe a Ford truck, at that time. I think when I first knew them, they had a truck. But he did. He walked to go about and take the orders, mm-hmm. but to deliver them. Then, and they had a black man that did that, and I forgot his name. I can't.
Were there things you wanted to buy and couldn't find at the Boggs store?
Oh, well, perhaps so.
Nothing that sticks in your mind.
But it was mainly a grocery store. However, I think he had maybe some dry goods, maybe. I don't remember too much about anything on the groceries.
Was there any other place to shop in town?
Well, now, this other store that I referred to on the other side of the street and further up toward the Smith House, mm-hmm. Mr. Smith, your grandfather, run that store.
What was the difference between the two stores, or was there any, between the Smith store and the Boggs store?
Well, what was the difference?
Did they sell the same thing?
I think so. I never did know much about what was sold in Mr. Smith's store. In fact, he went out of business about the time that I became acquainted with a bit acquainted with the town. And Mr. Vandiver, that's another resident, mm-hmm. that and we lived directly back of his house. He lived on that corner where you at Miss Sophie's house there, where you go up and then turn up toward the Cochran's. He lived in that corner right there.
You mentioned the Smith Hotel. What can you tell us about that?
Not much, only I worked on it quite a bit while I was living there.
What do you mean you worked on it? What did you do?
well repairs, mm-hmm. roof repairs, and one thing and another like that.
I suppose a big house like that took a lot of repair.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And was that your usual work, doing repairs? Was that your usual work doing repairs?
Well, I worked with this Mr. Lawrence that I referred to a while ago. When I first came back here, I mean, when I first came from Clemson, from Pickens back to Clemson, and I had some time off at intervals that I could. I have referred to Mrs. Smith that she would tell me time and time over that I want you to take it a little more easy. I was somewhat of a racehorse as far as work was concerned, and she'd say, I want you to take it a little more easy, but I want you to get my work done.
So slow up on somebody else's work. What was Mr. Lawrence's business? Was he
He was a builder.
A builder, a contractor?
Yes, he did some contract work.
Did he have his own lumber yard?
No, he didn't have a lumber yard. He had a brother in Seneca that did, and he bought his material largely from him. In later years, after we opened the lumber yard over here,